Welcome back, one and all. Thanks for clicking download, actually. We need the ratings. To Tango TV's premier interviewing flagship show. And this is the 10th episode, I believe, which is something of a milestone. And it's a shame that Tango couldn't be here, unfortunately, to celebrate it. But we have two other guests here instead. Well, one of them is a guest, and another is our esteemed new co-interviewer, Mr. Matt Tropiano.
Hello.
Hello. And joining us today in the hot seat will be Mr. Skillsaw.
Yes.
Super. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited.
Yeah.
All the same.
Yeah.
Typically, I do the questions. I just sort of insert them halfway through the interview or something like this. But I thought this one would be particularly interesting as a way to kick the interview off. And it's a question from Sailor who asks, or actually asks that I reword the question. She's very interested in your name in particular, and I guess with a name like Skillsaw, you must have been pretty confident in your ability when you conjured up the name.
Oh, boys. Yeah, you know, it really sounds like the kind of name a really elitist prick would have, right? So, yeah, I came up with it while I was playing some competitive online game or another. And I just wanted a name that would be both really violent and really elitist. So,
all right. Okay. Why not Skill Monkey Wrench or Skill Spanner or something?
Exactly.
Skill.
It's way more violent sounding. So I guess it was a better name when I was playing Unreal Tournament or whatever.
If I remember correctly, John Romero's nickname was The Surgeon.
What is this? Wow, is this actually truth?
I think it is. Like I've read the book Masters of Doom, and that was like his I guess nickname because like of how methodical he was in Doom Deathmatch or any kind of deathmatch. So, yeah,
nice
little tidbit of information there.
Crazy stuff. Well, typically being the start of the interview, we'll start at the start. It only seems appropriate. So
that'd be a good
tell
place.
Us a little bit about your. Yeah, mapping origins or interest in Doom. Take as long as you like.
Oh, geez, I don't know how far back to go.
Nice.
You know, I actually mapped in the 90s. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
But,
no.
I wanted to say, like, Skillsaw was a name I heard way back when, but I... Or Paul,
well,
Paul DeBryan.
Yeah, my...
But,
right. I don't think I used the name Skillsaw back then,
right.
But I released a map set... in 1998, called Sector 666. It's still up there on the archives.
I remember that.
Wow, because I being, you know, ill prepared as I am, I went and looked up your name and I didn't see that one flash up. So I assumed Eternium to be your first mapping effort.
Did
Although
you search?
Something niggled at the back of my mind, and I called someone saying, perhaps yourself, that it was a return.
Well, you know, I think ultimately you'll be pretty happy that you missed it. Because, yeah, it's typical 90s, you know.
Typical 90s.
Really, yeah. Nothing really noteworthy to it. But I ended up actually using it as an application for Team TNT back then, believe it or not.
Nice.
And they actually accepted me.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm a former Team TNT member, believe it or not.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm surprised you haven't flaunted that fact previously.
I know, right? I've never really told anyone because I never participated in any of their projects. So,
you know what? way back when, I actually submitted a map, or actually, what was the beginning of one of my my old Megawatt Dimensions of Time, like as like a entry for Team TNT, and that that didn't pan out so well because, well, I sucked horribly, and I gotta say. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, thanks. 15
right,
years later,
give too
I finally tell someone, cool. Right?
Mind if I live vicariously through you? For at least a couple minutes? I don't know.
So what, Eternium in 2007?
Yeah.
Why the return?
Oh, a real-life friend of mine... started getting into Doom for some reason, and he knew that I had been really into it back in the day. So he asked me to recommend him a good map set to play. So I ended up going to Doom World and kind of looking at all the CAC awards and 10 years of Doom, which I had never seen before because I had left Doom in 1998. Yeah. And I just picked out Alien Vendetta. I was like, this looks cool. Maybe you should try it. And he really enjoyed it. And I had to play it after his like effusively positive review. So I played it and I loved it. And I was like, you know, I have to make a map set that's inspired by this. And that's what Eternum really was. It was a combination of that and just the discovery that there was a new Doom editing program that was so much better than everything that I had used back in the day.
Oh, sure. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Doom Builder is just so great.
I really wish Doom Builder was around when I was doing mapping. Like I was stuck with Deep or Deep Sea. Well, the shareware version. So I was pretty limited there, but
I think I've actually mentioned this on a previous interview or an episode of Program B, but of course it was always humorous to me that, John Romero sat down with her girlfriend and after she saw Doom Builder, he insisted that he dragged her to a next computer and showed her DoomEd instead.
Really?
Which apparently he thought it was a lot easier to use, so there you go.
Well, I mean wouldn't he be like very, very like used to, you know, what he's used
exactly
for the majority of the making Doom maps, and you have to learn some other guy's tool. Like you wouldn't go to the other guy's tool if you already had something you were familiar with, I guess.
I imagine.
Yeah.
If you're showing someone something new, though, you would probably recognize that. I can say, on the whole, this might be a lot easier, but jump. Yeah. There we are. So Eternity was only 3 maps in length. Were you intending for that to be longer, or were you just quite comfortable to hit out something of that size just as a sort of opening?
No, I was happy with 3. It was just sort of I was just kind of feeling out the new Doom editor, Doom Builder, and it was just sort of a fun little project. I didn't expect much response. I didn't really expect it to really build a whole lot.
Fun.
And I wasn't really intending to do anything else afterwards either. It just kind of happened.
Oh, okay. What's, I mean, that wouldn't usually be an interesting point to bring up on my side. But, of course, recently Tarnsman was had skill, not skill, so that's you. had Jimmy Chorus and good heaven, Snakes on, and they were talking about One Man Megawads. There was a bit of the discussion that talked about people, you know, sort of coming out the bat in the Doom community and then wanting to put out an immediate 32 map set. And there seems to be a growing trend at the moment. People jumping the deep end too quickly.
Yeah, so I'm guilty of that though as well.
Yeah, so it's I think it's an excellent introductory map set, discounting Sector 667, which I'm going to have to investigate now.
Oh boy,
it's something to be proud of, certainly. And
spare yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to. what came after that? It was in 2011. Was there an entire 4 years before you decided to get back in the saddle?
No, I actually did 2 maps for the ill-fated Z Pack.
Of course you did. How could I possibly?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. And I also did 4 maps for the, I guess, even more ill-fated Stronghold. So.
That one.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Well, I mean, ill-fated that it saw release, or the like that people didn't really take to it.
The latter, I think.
Oh,
I think we may have over anticipated the community's enthusiasm for invasion game modes by making like 40 maps or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's I gotta tell you, I haven't really. I mean, I played it, but I was like, I wonder how many maps there are in this. Like, I've no idea how far I am or how. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess
it does drag. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a shame, really, because of all that effort put into it. But I was like, why?
I mean, no matter how much I dislike Stronghold, and I don't dislike it that much. I think I'm still. I think many people are still able to look at it and just appreciate the scale and effort that went into some of the maps. I mean. Sure, I mean, you can criticize the visuals as much as you can the gameplay in some places, but I think there are certain maps that I look at, I can just say that's a nice-looking map, and surely the author can't be too displeased with the inclusion, no matter how badly it was received.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, I
sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think the time that I spent working on that project was really well worth it, because I really felt like I did learn a lot about, I guess, visual design in Doom, and I think it really did improve my mapping in the long run as a result.
Okay, sure.
I'd say it's very much improved, yeah. It's very good.
Indeed, I think many people have flagged up that your sort of learning curve or increase in ability is one of the greatest among the Doom community. Continues to be. Something that interests me in particular is, because I don't know how I forgot that fact, because it was actually one of the reasons behind why I wanted to address your sort of learning curve there. But mapping for Z-Doom in two separate projects, were you keen to get to cut your teeth on Z-Doom map sets? Were you really drawn to the sort of source port and its features?
I wouldn't say especially so. It was more or less just that I happened to use Z-Doom to play, and I kind of mistakenly assumed that no one would really mind using Z-Doom. So I just mapped for it as a result, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it did seem like it would be like a logical progression source port after Boom, after Boom's features, and then like it was just like, well, include like Hexen style features, but then like, I don't know, for some reason Z-Doom tends to be, I guess, well, not looked down upon, but I mean it's I guess it's a port that really hasn't won the hearts and minds of a majority of the Doom community, as I was hoping myself.
There's room for a pretty hefty discussion there. You know, it also interests me that there are certain high profile mappers today that they don't start off, well, then let's say that they start off doing Z-Doom maps and they work their way backwards. And then they wind up becoming particularly interested in limit removing or vanilla map sets. And of course, you have done work, or maybe you are still continuing to do work on Baxter next at the moment, which is vanilla, and two of your high profile releases were for Boom. Do you have like a preference as to which sort of source port or you map for?
Oh, as far as mapping goes, Boom all the way.
All the way.
Wow.
All the way. I am a big Boom fan. The reason for that is because for me, the biggest struggle with mapping is actually finding the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And with Boom, I don't get bogged down in all the advanced features of Z-Doom that are frequently really aesthetically nice, but don't really add a whole lot to gameplay.
Sure.
Right.
And I also don't get bogged down on the opposite end in vanilla with all like the visplane and seg testing and stuff that
it really is
makes
a happy
it a lot
medium.
More.
It really is a happy medium, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it works perfectly for my needs, and I'm very happy with it.
Mm. In fact, I think Sasa flagged up in our source port discussion on episode 2 of Program B some time ago that he considers, and I don't know, I would almost agree with it, that the default is no longer vanilla. It's actually more like limit removing. Or perhaps even Boon.
Yeah.
It's just simply more comfortable for many people to work with, and there's a greater interest in sort of pushing the boundaries of vanilla these days. That it's become almost a sort of niche process in itself, I guess. So many people feel more comfortable with it, and I think that's perfectly fine. Honestly speaking. Well. And also, of course, Hanging Gardens was for GZ Doom, and I read in the text file that you intended for that at one point to become part of an episode. Were you sort of reeled in by the overwhelming task at hand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it was actually supposed to be a megawad for GZ Doom, of all things.
Wow.
And
I take back what I said about Eternum.
Yeah, it was sort of like the genesis. Hanging Gardens was sort of like the genesis of Vanguard.
That's right.
So I eventually, like, decided, you know what, I could get this done quicker if I switched to Boom. Mm. And I ended up only making 12 maps anyway, so, you know.
What would be...
So I've overestimated yourself twice.
Yes, yes.
What would you say would be, like, the factor that makes, more feature-rich ports like Z-Doom laborious? Is it, like, how it handles specials? Is it... What is the time saving factor between, I guess, Z-Doom and Boom that attracts you more to Boom?
Well, it's mostly kind of getting bogged down in all the cool aesthetics things you can do by using sloped architecture and sloped terrain.
You don't have to
per side depth lighting techniques. Yeah, you don't have to, but it feels like it's kind of expected to use take advantage of the features of a Zdoom port. Yeah,
you know, I absolutely agree with that, because like a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but there's always that group of people where if you make like some kind of map or whatever, they go, "Why didn't you make it for this source port?" You know, like they didn't like. So, well, because, you know, Zdoom was easy and it allowed me to do certain things this way. But then, like,
flashy gadgets.
Yeah, flashy gadgets. But like, I mean, I don't usually use those features. But it's, you know, it's nice working with, I guess, an engine that would make things a lot, like, it gives me a lot less worry. But like, you know, I guess some things really don't really need to be in those ports. I guess it kind of locks you into it by the the map format then, right? If it's a Zdoom over Boom, then I don't know where I was going with that.
I really have to watch myself at this point, because the only maps that I've ever mapped for, the only project I've ever mapped for at this point is Doom the way it did, and I haven't really been able to put out a map of my own style, and so I'm worried that once the project's over, I'm going to bolt out the gate in the wrong direction and go straight into a... I'm going to have to tether myself to
Everybody. Yeah, but everybody has one of those phases. Like, as soon as when I discovered, you could do crazy stuff with the Doom engine, like through, like, Sibes Void or whatever, I was tempted to do crazy things. But then I'm like, I just discovered that I don't really have the fundamentals down, and that's kind of like what keeps me back. Skillsaw, if that's what we're calling it now. do you ever tend to run into that problem, or like there's that like temptation to that temptation to throw everything in the kitchen sink into a map, but you have to dial it back, or like, does that ever come up at all for you?
I think that was a problem I had maybe back in the day when I was still doing maps for like ZPack.
Mm. Right.
I just filled them up with all kinds of crazy decorate monsters that didn't really go together. I didn't really have much thought placed into their placement or what their purpose was in the overall bestiary, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask, do you feel like there's, I guess, well, how do I put this? Like, there are a multitude of extra monsters and stuff that people create and put together, but do you feel like it never really adds anything new to Doom, or there really isn't a place for them, and that's why people don't use them? Or what do you think it is? Like, what would cause people to not use those new things?
I'm not sure. I think probably the biggest reason is that there's just only a limited number of players that really like to play Zdoom maps. And that's the reason why mappers don't use them as much as they could.
I really kind of wish that
Boom would just... You know, I'd wake up one day and Boom would have decorate support, because I would just love to have suicide bombers and all that stuff in my Boom maps. But
from a programming standpoint, that would probably be a lot of changes, because I think Zdoom was changed from the ground up to like be completely agnostic in how those things were put together. But it really is like just a lot of text information and a lot of, additional data that isn't really, part of Doom, that is part of Doom. So
that's why this decorate Boom world only exists in my imagination, I guess. Yeah.
No, I honestly think that because of how prolific the community is, both in Doom world and in the Zdoom community, which, of course, predominantly puts out Zdoom map sets and mods, honestly, the time that is required to really make the most out of your map set or your mod isn't really there. People sort of put it out either prematurely when I take a look at the forums, there's a heck of a lot of projects going on and they're being released all the time. And then you take a look at certain individual ones, such as say, Demon Eclipse, for example, that have been in, that was actually cancelled and brought back recently. Mm. It's been in for a long time. And that's clearly of a very high quality. And then you're made to realize, you know, clearly a lot of time needs to be put in, and some projects just aren't getting it. They're being put out. Mm. Of course, then Stronghold was in development for I don't know how long. So could be a counterintuitive
point. A very long time.
What the hell was I going to say? So what do you think, Skillsaw? Do you think that sometimes do people make, in your opinion, do people make shortened sets of maps because they tend to get exhausted? Or, well, how are you with the small subsets of maps? Because I saw that Vanguard, one of your other works, kind of was intended to be 32 maps and then, you know, cut short to, what was it, 12 or 13?
And a boxing ring.
Yeah. 13
all the way.
So did you?
Yeah, I think.
Did you just say that's enough? This is good. I'll stop here.
Yeah, yeah. I just ran out of steam after 2 months of like really intense mapping, just spending all of my free time working with Doom Builder, and I just couldn't see myself doing another 20. It was just unfathomable at that point. Just.
And you know, and honestly, honestly, I think it benefits as a result.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too. Like, a lot of times when I play a Megawatt, I don't ever really make it all the way through just because there's such an overwhelmingly huge quantity of maps. But
by the same
Right. And when I play like a short map set like Winter's Fury or UAC Ultra or something like that, I almost always make it through and see the whole thing. Yeah. Mm. So in a way, I think it's almost better to release projects that are small and cohesive like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, 2011, of course, was the big year, at least I consider it, both with Vanguard and with Lunatic coming out. The story of which, by the way, is absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I actually didn't write that. It was written by a friend of mine. I just have to make sure that's clear.
Thing, but, it's awesome nonetheless, so mad props to that guy.
Yeah.
So what happened in that year? Were you just explosion of interest, or you just had lots of free time, or...?
Explosion of interest. I actually kind of contemplated just leaving Doom after Stronghold because I was kind of fed up with the whole process and
yikes,
thought it just didn't, you know, I was just really disappointed with the overall product and thought it could have been a lot better. And I ended up deciding to try my hand at mapping again, but make a very conscious effort at kind of reinventing myself as a mapper. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I basically just studied the hell out of Eric Alm's maps and
like
plagiarized the hell out of everything I saw. So that's where Vanguard Lunatic basically came from. I just got into that mindset and tried to address the weaknesses I saw in myself as a mapper from all my maps made before then.
I did see some Eric Alm influence in Vanguard in a couple of places, but like especially like the angle work and like the shape of building structures and stuff like that. I don't know. I think all of us at some point have looked at Eric Alm's maps and been like, "Oh crap, why can't I make maps like that?" And then we try, or at some point.
Drink from the same well.
They just have a quality of being very like concise and direct and keeping you fighting the whole time that I just really admire, and that's what I tried to bring into my maps.
Yeah, I guess it's like it's kind of like a benchmark. Like his maps are just kind of like this is kind of like what modern dooming kind of is in terms of mapping and whatever. Mm-hmm. And especially the throwing the. Not like waves of monsters, but the keep the player constantly on his toes, always reevaluate threats, stuff like that.
Right. Mm.
Okay, so let's see. So after Vanguard, you made Lunatic, correct? Or was that released?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So that was like why is it five maps long? Did you have like enough ideas?
Just five maps.
So you had like what, like enough ideas for five maps, or did you just say, oh, you know what would be cool, like a moon base type of thing? Like, what was the inspiration for Lunatic?
What was the inspiration for Lunatic?
Yeah, like, the texture set? Why the, like, there had to have been some idea. What's your muse?
Oh, yeah.
There were no good moon base maps at
the genesis of Lunatic was, I actually was just playing around with graphics editing, and I posted a gigantic picture of Earth in front of a star field that I had made, and was like, I wonder how this would look in Doom. And I thought it looked pretty cool, so I decided to make a map set out of it.
Awesome.
That's the best possible reasoning.
Yes, it's basically the sky came before anything else, and I was like, you know, this looks awesome, and I've got to build something around it, so... Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's interesting because some people are very premeditated about the sort of map sets that they want to create. And some people will just do it on a whim, and some both. sometimes you can tell what the approach was just from looking at the maps. Certainly. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't say most maps from Back to the Next weren't premeditated. I think that goes for most everyone's work. Yeah.
In your opinion, Skillsaw, what makes like the best types of layouts? Would it be like places that are exist in reality, or do you go for the whole completely abstract type of style? From what I've seen of your maps, it is very like, if there is like structures and buildings, but I mean there's like that nice little abstract flow. Like, what do you think makes a better map?
It's somewhere in between the two. Mm. The setting should be kind of believable but not real.
Right.
Like, it should have a coherent theme that makes you know it's something, but that something doesn't need to resemble something that's actually existent, yeah. I guess. Does that make any sense?
I know what you mean. There are plenty of... I think we've all had that, like, that little inkling to say, hey, I'm going to remake this area in Doom, and then it turns out to not be fun. Not fun at
Doom
all.
Doom furniture.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I think we've all played enough maps where we've had to, like, hunt imps in cubicles and stuff.
or colleges. Or...
Yeah.
Or houses.
Bathroom stalls.
Yeah, definitely.
Incidentally, just as a completely unwarranted aside, I was requested by one of my colleagues at work to recreate, or rather create an office setting for a television series that he had in mind, and he wanted, and I suggested how it might look, and then he asked if I could draw it for him, and I said, I can't draw, but I can make it in Doom. And so I made it for him, and he was able to swim around it in 3D mode, and I thought, wow, that's probably the greatest output I've ever made for the Doom community.
Not so that you're the only one slightly embarrassed by this, but back when my parents were remodeling their kitchen, I was actually in build engine programming, and I kind of remade a floor plan of what the new kitchen would look like using like Shadow Warrior. So like it was that awkward as well. For I'm like, hey, check this out. This is what our new kitchen would look like. Really, with the checkerboard tiled floor? Well, no. It's going to use a completely different floor, but ridiculous. Oh.
Skill. So why'd you use the final countdown for map 5 of Lunatic?
I mean,
why
for
not?
For some reason, I knew that you would ask me this, but I couldn't come up with a good answer other than that it's
often
awesome.
It's just
song.
Comedic, and Lunatic just felt
awesome
like a comedic
song.
Map set to me.
It was comedic. It was very lighthearted. I didn't want anyone to take it seriously, and I feel like if anyone got mad over the final countdown, I trolled them successfully, and I'm happy with it.
Like, who would get mad over the final countdown? That's such a great song.
It violates the integrity of Doom or something. I don't know.
Come on, we've all put pop music in our wads at some point, especially early on, you know.
32 and 24. Yeah. It doesn't work. I mean, you need pop music for that. Let's talk a little bit about mapping discipline. Like, when you sit down at the computer and you have something in mind, do you have a, is there a ritual you go through or something like that? Or, I mean, I asked this question to some individuals and they say, whatever comes, comes. Don't really have a process behind it. I mean, do you do layout first? I mean, and then texturing immediately afterwards? Do you go piece by piece? Do you do the whole thing layout? And what's your approach there?
I generally build a single room at a time. I pretty much lay out the room, the general shape of it. Then I do the height variations, and then I add connections to the next rooms or to monster closets that I intend to put in. And then I do the full detailing of that room, and then I just move on to the next one.
Sure. I mean, this is a obviously it's a sensible question to ask to any interviewee, but I have my other reasons for asking it as well, because I'm currently looking for a model approach to go off that isn't my own, because at the moment I do everything except for texturing. I complete the map completely.
Oh, well, really?
How do you hate texturing? I love texturing.
I can't stand it. It's
really?
I love everything else. I'll do lighting. I'll do thing placement. I'll play test it vigorously, and everything will remain stock man too to the last moment.
Wow. See, wow. The last thing I do is thing placement, unless it's actual decoration that would be considered part of the level.
Yeah, that's what I do as well.
So, wow.
It's clearly a better approach.
I always got the feeling, though, that like people would put things in as they go, but I'm like, I have to get the structure first, you know?
Certainly.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't think you ever... Do you ever encounter writers? Not writer's block. Goodness me. Mapper's block. Level design. And if you do, how do you overcome that?
I can't say I really get mapper's block very often. I tend to just pound my way through maps as quickly as I can. I don't know if I'm unique in that or what, but
I
don't really have problems
like that.
Do you find that sometimes, like, if you have to, well, as you say, pound through it, like, that's something, like, just is, like, lost in the process? Or, like, do you ever be like, I have no idea what to put here, and then you start putting things together and somehow it works? Or do you end up deleting what you've written? Because, well, what's that kind of process like?
It's more like the first thing you described. I just kind of keep working and I just let it work out, and if it turns out bad, it turns out bad.
You must feel very comfortable in your style at this point then. I'm thinking of certain mappers. I mean, particularly new mappers when they're trying to get a hang on their own process and they encounter maps block all the time. It's in some instances and perhaps most because they haven't really found their own sort of rut to get into.
Uh-huh.
If that's the right word to use, I'll have to look that up later. Probably not. There you go.
I would think that like the process is different for everybody because you know that the process is a personal thing. That's the thing that everybody, you know, by themselves, a person cannot teach you, I guess, how to work through stuff like that, because in the end you're the one that's making the map, you know. I mean, unless it's one of those tandem map projects that we see on Doom World sometimes, where like they do a part and they hand it off to another guy. I want to do something like that, but I've never done that.
Skills, are there any other community projects that you're involved in at the moment? I know Matt's involved in Secret Santa project, and I'm actually supposed to be playtesting a map by his, and I haven't done that for like 4 months.
And my map I submitted the final for my map already, so...
Without my input, that shows how much I'm...
No. I assume since nobody really gave me any additional feedback after what I received, other than, hey, this is great, I'm like, well, I guess I'm done here. I mean...
that's it. I played that, but I just didn't submit anything because I thought it was great.
Excellent. Well, I guess that...
Yeah, I actually did a map for that project as well, and I finished in January.
So. Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, you too were a part of that. Any hints for who you got? Like, any light hints?
Oh, it's a mapper that I like. That's about as much of a hint as I can give.
Eric, he's not here. Man, we haven't even seen that guy in a long time. I wonder what he's doing.
Yeah.
So,
actually, I have a question. This kind of like leads into my question. Skillsaw, if you would you say that how do you handle feedback? I'm sure over the years, when you've made maps, but then between what you've made in the past and what you make now, is there a feedback process that you pursue, or do you show your maps to anybody? How do you get better? That way. Like, what's the feedback process in with your map creation?
Jeez.
Is there any?
I'm a very I map in a very, I guess, introspective process, and I mostly just trust myself to work out problems and find kinks in my style and solve them in future maps, I guess, on my own.
So I'm
very comfortable with not telling anyone about a project and then just showing up with it when it's done and saying, here's my maps. I'm hoping you guys will like them too.
Yeah. I've been like that before, but I kind of see the value in just say, hey guys, I'm thinking of releasing this. How do you like this? Just for that additional bit. 'Cause what if I missed something, I start to not trust myself in that regard. But, would you say that you are your harshest critic, I guess, in this case?
I think Tarnsman is my harshest critic. Seriously, have you seen that guy?
Yes, oh, I deal with him all the time.
Actually, he remade one of my maps for Back to Saturn X.
Oh, really? A Blue Shadow?
Yeah, yeah. He completely remade it.
I would like to see that.
The thing was, I don't know. This doesn't stir up drama, I guess. But Essel and Tarnsman, I guess, not neglected to tell me, but forgot to tell me, because Tarns was just on a whole trip of revising and stuff like that, and he came across my map, and then they're like, oh crap, we didn't tell Matt, that sort of thing, and I look at it and I'm like, it's amazing, but oh my god, how much of it is still mine, so. He was a very hands-on critic, I guess, in that regard. But I don't know. It's all for the better.
Honestly, I might have to prevent this interview from going out now, so the criticisms coming from those who think that Essel's an elitist don't have something to chew on.
No. I mean, it's good. It's good to have an eye for quality. Let's put it that way. Quality.
And I'm sure we're all thankful for Tarnsman's input.
Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I wanted to address your specifically your involvement in the Secret Center project, because I was wondering what if you had any difficulty in creating a map for that, because you said previously that you were sort of comfortable with your own style. I imagine different mappers at different stages in their mapping career, to call it something, would fare differently in that task. Did you find it easy?
I found it very difficult, actually. And I think the map I created is pretty obviously a skill saw map. I tried my best.
I think we've all run into that at some point. It's like,
yeah,
it's like we just go through the maps of the author, and then we sit down and we're like, all right, I'm starting to make it. And like, oh, what do they do? Okay, they do it this way, and they use this type of the stuff and textures and whatever. And then as you go on, you start to slip back into what you're used to.
Exactly. Yeah.
How often do you think that happened, though, in your map, Mr. Saw?
It's kind of disguised because I used a lot of textures that I wouldn't normally use. So, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say that my interior areas on the map look very skill saw-y. But the exterior areas, I think I did a better job of capturing this guy's style. So
that could be a clue.
I don't know.
A clue.
I don't know.
And something I'm interested in addressing as well is that, I mean, do you find that in it being as difficult as it was, there was something of, I mean, did you learn a little bit about your own mapping style when doing that? If you sort of try to integrate someone else's into yours, or rather imitate someone else's entirely? do you find anything about your own style that suddenly you realize, oh, that's an interesting thing, I should probably address that or do something differently or what have you? And I also this coming from the perspective of someone who's involved in doing the way I did, of course, although I didn't really have a style to corrupt.
To be honest, I'm not that analytical about my style versus his style. And I think that's one of the reasons why I had so much trouble doing it, is that I really had trouble distinguishing between our styles to begin with. Mm. So
it's Ed, isn't it? It's Ed. You're mapping for Ed.
No, it's definitely not Ed.
I was going to say.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that.
I was going to say he said he. Oh, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
It's very hard to imitate another person's style. As doomers and doom mappers of a mapping or creative skill set, like we end up kind of emulating or mimicking people that either inspire us or what we like playing. What are some of your who are the people that inspire you, Mr. Saw?
We already mentioned Eric Alm, and he's like, that's like 90% of it right there.
Yeah, that's right. Every single person in the interview has mentioned him at some point.
I think so. I think like I learned a lot of visual things from guys like Vader and Agent Spork and even Tormentor.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But gameplay wise, I've kind of just adapted what I've learned from playing the Scythe Wads into my own, I think.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting because you might think I was way off. In fact, I probably was when I said Ed. Since I haven't mapped a lot and have only been keeping one foot, I guess, in the progress of Back to Set and X, taking a look at the sort of similarities in architecture and design between many of the mappers involved in that project, I take a look at that project and I begin to think that there are many like-minded minds working there. I mean, and that might be where some of the criticism pertaining to, it all feels the same stems from, which I can half and half agree with, at least looking at the surface. I imagine quite a lot of your style at this point, well, not a lot of it, but some of it certainly would have been influenced by others working on the project.
Oh, yeah. Guys like Essel. Essel especially has really encouraged me to, I guess, nitpick my own maps a bit more. So, it's more of a...
That shouldn't be funny, but it is. I don't know why.
Yeah. I guess from him I've learned more of a little bit of a finer eye for my own style, but I haven't really, I guess, adapted his style into my own at all, if that makes sense.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Mm. Okay.
I think it's just, when I think skills, the first thing that comes to mind for me is shapely, bulky, aesthetically pleasing architecture, especially from the exterior. In fact, I always think of exterior shots when I'm thinking of the skills on that, in particular.
Digging that
exterior. Incidentally, without narrowing it down, that's also something that I would say of, obviously Ed has a very, very particular, he does grand architecture at the same time. So do you, but his in a particularly extra shape or fashion.
I mean, have you seen Future Fire? Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that thing.
That is
insanity. Although my main bit of criticism for that map is, I don't know, it feels like the gameplay wasn't all there. Like it was fun, but I wonder if that was more of the exploration factor rather than the threat that's thrown at you throughout the map. Although, like, I like all the surprising bits in it with the spoiler alert, the overgrowth, like the monstrous overgrowth in there and stuff like that. But it's a nice surprise. Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. So
I have to admit, I got lost a lot while I was playing that one.
Oh, so. Same here. Yeah. Like there wasn't really.
Yeah.
I actually missed a switch that kind of like blended in with the rest of the texturing. And I'm like, why couldn't he highlight this better? But
honestly, I'm happy to get lost in it.
It is very
pretty. That's a good point. Yeah.
Mm. There are some maps that I really don't mind getting lost in, obviously up to a point. If they're aesthetically pleasing enough that just wandering around in them is, I'm absolutely fine by. I can spend some time doing that. Yeah. But honestly, Skillsaw, I'd like to hear your response to that criticism in particular, which is the greatest criticism of Back to Saturn X at present, that everything does feel samey. Mm. I mean, I have my opinions in response to that, but I'd be interested to hear what yours might be.
I'm not sure how to answer this question exactly. Well, let's say that
put him under a big spotlight. Let's talk.
This is like big drama. I feel like I have to be very political here.
Renounce,
right?
Your masters.
No. Let's say, Alfonso, that you are a fan of pizza.
Oh, hello.
Is that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. And let's say that I'm a pizza delivery man.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Okay. And
you accept credit? No, you don't accept credit card. Just cash in hand. It's fine.
I love making and delivering pizzas so much that I just do it in my free time for fun.
This is fascinating. Continue.
Wow. I don't know anybody.
So I just show up at your door, right? Mm-hmm. One day with a huge, enormous pizza.
Massive.
And I ask you to eat a slice.
Can I take it inside? Am I just eating out the door in front of you? That's kind of awkward. I'll do it.
Like he wants to see you chew it. Like he just wants to see the cheese. And it's like, do you like it? Do you like it? Like big wide eyes. Like, it's good. Could you look that way, please?
Go on.
So you eat the pizza and you like it, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course I do.
It's good pizza.
Why wouldn't I? It's hot and spicy.
Yeah.
Right. So I ask you to have another piece and you eat it and it's good, right?
Oh, it's just as good as the first one.
Oh, man.
And you just eat the next slice and the next slice and the next slice.
I'm kid from Matilda. Hold up.
And it's just, this is the best pizza. Oh, okay, no. This is very good pizza. Okay. Right. Will you agree on that?
Yeah. I'm starting to feel a little full.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite a few slices.
Okay. That's exactly the point I wanted to get to. You've eaten the whole pizza. You've eaten the whole pizza, Alfonso.
Oh, God.
Why don't you save some for tomorrow?
Have
some leftovers.
Come on. I bet it tastes just as good after you put it in the fridge, man.
Have some leftovers.
I think Essel said that in the past, that set it aside, place, and don't do it all in one sitting. Which incidentally is what I did, and I didn't mind it that much. But for some players, I imagine, that could be a problem.
That's like some of the community maps that I, community map projects that I play. I'm like, man, I have to take this a couple maps at a time. There's like, but I mean, that's more because, like on one slice of the pizza, you have plain, and the other slice, it's like loaded up with vegetables, and the other one is like, oh, it's just meat, and then the other one is just like, this is we put pineapple and ham on this one, and it's like all different. But
that must be a Caesar map right there. Anyway, I imagine many would argue that it's just this one's four cheeses and that one's three cheeses, and this one is just having a bit of, I don't know, Emmental, what's that doing on a pizza?
I wouldn't say it's entirely cheesy, though. There's definitely some other toppings.
Was that a pun?
It was a very, very terrible one, though.
Fantastic.
I liked it, Matt.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, I've also flagged up in the past that I think, from what I've seen of episodes 2 and 3, Tower and the Fountain of Sparks, Fountain and the Tower of Sparks, like Sparks and
something like that.
Some other Pollard nonsense.
Yeah. And, some guided by voices thing.
they're a lot more varied from what I've seen, and I expect that many of those who have criticisms of episode 1 on this point will be very pleased with the subsequent episodes.
I certainly hope so. There are a lot of gimmicky maps coming up in the next couple of episodes. There's a lot of maps with weird spatial things going on, so I think people will be pleased.
I hope people are pleased at my half a map. Or my co-created map. You know, how many maps have you made for that project, Skillsaw?
I did 5 maps. Well, I made 6, but I kind of canceled the last one, even though it was pretty much done.
Already maps in episode 3?
I have no maps in episode 3, actually. So, kind of a bummer, but it is what it is.
Sure. you brought up gimmicky maps, which of course are coming up on those two episodes, and you reminded me actually of the third map in Vanguard, which I think is Archvile exclusive.
Oh, 13 Angry Archviles.
Yes, 13 Angry Arch. And it's it sticks out, that map in the map set, for that reason, being a gimmicky. I mean, did you, was that just a sort of spur of the moment, I'll just decide to do this, and...
Well, like I told you, when I was working on Vanguard, it was kind of an attempt to reinvent myself as a mapper.
Sure, yep.
And I kind of felt like I was awful at using Archviles, so I was like, I'll just make an Archvile map to work on it.
Oh, wow.
Well, so that
and
was
that
like,
was really all it was.
So it was just, so sometimes... would you what was my question? Like would you say that sometimes when you get an idea for a map, it's because you want to work on a particular skill set, or does that happen all the time, or is that the kind of,
no,
like, one of your motivations?
It was while I was working on Vanguard, but since then I've kind of gotten a little more, you know, comfortable in just doing what I'm doing. Okay. I haven't really tried to use maps as a way to learn new things, I guess, as much.
It's for me, it's bordering on almost unbelievable that taking a look at Vanguard and then be told that half of this is just, I was just experimenting with actually advancing my, not just learning things basically on the job almost. It sounds almost Townsman-ish.
Yeah.
With Doom 2 Redux.
I'll say, like, one of the, my favorite parts, especially in that map of Vanguard, like, I'm playing through it. I haven't finished it, but I'm playing through it. And when I got to the point in that map of 13 Angry Archviles where, like, there's this one area where you have, like, the lifts that just keep going up and down. Mm. But, like, it added, from a gameplay thing, like, it's not just monsters. It's part of the map being a part of it. Like there's the Archviles up there waiting to blast you up in the air, but the things come up, so, like, what you have to hide behind changes, and I really, really like that. I really, really like that part of the map. It showed a lot of creativity, and
Thank you
for making me experience that.
Well, thank you for thanking me for thanking you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, is there any projects, either solo or otherwise, coming up in the future, Mr. Skillsaw?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nah. You gonna leave it at that? You're just gonna give us the three letters and then run for the hills.
I have a policy of not sharing any of my projects until they're pretty much done.
Fine, absolutely fine.
But I am working on a solo project. It's making good progress.
Good.
Excellent.
Yes. And I think we'll leave that there. So Desert Island Wads. This is a new mini featurette that we're going to be experimenting here for all interviewees.
This is new for me too, because I have not heard of this segment yet, I don't think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Suffice to say that Skillsaw was informed. So he has deserted on an isolated island in the middle of the Pacific. Let's just make it up. and he can only take 5 map sets or mods or maps with him. 5 wads. Mm. What would they be to while away the time?
Mm.
And what would his reasonings be behind them? I understand that you have your 5 selected.
I do. Yes.
Yes.
I do.
So just give us one, and then we'll go into it.
All right. The first one is Alien Vendetta.
Oh, right. Okay.
Old favorite.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it was like the first that you inspected after some time?
Yeah, yeah. It's the map set that kind of, I guess, brought me back to Doom. So it's got kind of a special place in my mind.
Sure. It's also just inherently.
Yeah, totally. I love how it, like, mixes lottery maps with other maps that are just, like, you know, high monster density, but not really slaughter maps.
Mm.
So it feels like it has a lot of variety within it, and I like that a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It falls into the no-brainer category, I'm sure, for some.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah. And the second?
The second is Scythe 2.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys saw that.
By our favorite mapper, yeah.
Yeah. Scythe 2 is, like, my basically my favorite, so I never get tired of it.
Mm. Oh, to the uninformed, that is also Eric Alm.
Yes.
Yes.
So why Scythe 2 over the first Scythe, for example?
I like how Scythe 2 has slightly larger maps and more focused environments or environmental design, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. It has very cohesive episodes, and I like that a lot. That being said, I honestly really don't like the last maybe five or six maps of the of Scythe 2 and find them to be a little tedious to play. But
they are kind of slaughter mappy.
Yeah, they're slaughter mappy, and I don't think in a good way.
Do you feel that Eric's at his best when he's dealing with smaller concept maps of the sort that inhabit like the first half of the original Scythe?
I wouldn't say necessarily that small is his best, but I think when he stays away from slaughter maps is when he's really at his best. Yeah,
interesting.
I would agree as well. I mean, it's fun, but it's you got to hold down the BFG button for so long before you get like tired of it.
Mm-hmm. So we're still on the island. You've got plenty of food. You've just played through Alien Vendor and Scythe 2. You've had a bit of fish for dinner. Why not? There's plenty of it around. Maybe a bit of coconut milk. And your third selection.
My third pick is really self-indulgent. It's Back to Saturn X, Episode 1, Get Out of My Stations.
Yes.
Very self-indulgent, but you know, I have a lot of nostalgia from working on developing it. So, you know, I like, you know, I saw the maps kind of come to fruition from their earliest stages, and I just really like seeing all of them completed. So
play through all of them with like a little nostalgic or wistful tear in your eye.
Right, exactly.
And the fish at your lips. I don't really know where I'm going with that one. The fourth selection.
The fourth one is Doom 2.wad.
Yay!
Yeah.
You know, I had actually considered whether that would be a legitimate response.
Well, it's going to have to be. I don't have another
it's
one.
Have to be, no.
Well, isn't it like just the lack of a map set? You still have Doom 2.
I think that's a perfectly fine decision because Doom 2 has its own, really has its own style that's set aside from most of the map sets. I mean, we hear about people criticizing Doom 2 quite a lot for its level design, and others love it. It's a bit like Vegemite in that respect. You either love it or you hate it, I guess. certainly, everyone's thankful for the resources it's given us. But I don't know. Right. I think it's particular enough in its style that to select it is actually quite an interesting point. Is that just because it's Doom 2 no-brainer, or is it because you think there's a certain quality about it that you like?
There's just tons of variety in it.
Yes.
I wouldn't get bored of it. I think that's reason enough if I'm going to be playing it for the rest of my life.
you'll get rescued eventually.
While we're on the topic of Doom 2, sorry to sidetrack this while we're on the topic of Doom 2, who would you say would be your, I guess, out of all the mappers, I guess, that worked on Doom 2, who would you say style that you liked the best?
Sean, to be fair, I haven't studied this as much as the folks who are working on Doom 2 the way it did, but I'm a big fan of Sandy Peterson's maps in Doom 2, especially.
Very abstract.
I like the open-endedness. Yeah. Mm. Very sandboxy. Mm. I'm a big fan of
the. I mean, I was talking about Vegemite earlier and love it or hate it, but I'm not sure that's an expression in America that I could just be talking. Could sound insane.
Yeah, but, for the record, don't like Vegemite.
No,
I don't know.
Vegemite stuff.
Well, I haven't tasted it, but like I smelled it, and I'm like, you know what? That's not for me. Not going to put that on toast. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's like the first thing you put on. Anyway, good heavens. So yeah, the case in point, I guess. The case in point map. Case in map. Point map. Mm. For the map set in that respect would be, you know, people flag out the chasm all the time. But that's for me, that's the definitive sort of sandy effort. I mean, do you appreciate that sort of map?
I do, as long as it's not every map.
Yes.
As long as every map isn't the chasm. Yeah. I can have fun with that stuff. Yeah.
So do you mean to say that as long as not every map is sort of gimmicky based? Is it interspersed with Romero and Mickey, for example?
I'm trying to say more that not every map should use the same gimmick. So if like it was 32 maps of the chasm, I would get sick of that pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, no question.
Right.
Like another balancing beam map.
So you've survived the night almost, but Dawn has not yet arrived, actually. Now we can see the light just peeking its head over the top
he
of the
has a script. He has a script.
No, no. This is all duck held together. I'd live.
All right.
Your fifth selection to round out the evening.
Number five is, I'm not sure if you're going to like this one. It's
Heretic.wad.
Heretic.
Interesting choice. Interesting.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning behind that one?
I love Heretic. I wouldn't want to go without it.
Yeah. But, you know, Heretic does kind of have a soft spot with me, too. Kind of, well, I'm not sure what it is, though. Is it, like, just Doom in, like, a very medieval type of setting, or what do you think? What do you think, Skill?
Well, I guess it is Doom in a medieval type setting.
It also has that weird, I guess that weird element of randomness. Like every once in a while, you'll kill like one of those, was it like those acolyte guys, like the guys that the floating guys that shoot like the purple stuff. And, they'll like drop like a tome of power, like all things, and like that just completely changes that part of the game at that moment, because you know there's going to be a whole bunch of other guys you could use that on. But it's like that weird, I guess Heretic has that weird randomness, which kind of makes it unique, by the way I see it. But right. Would that be, I guess, part of your decision that you chose Heretic, or?
Maybe not the randomness aspect of that, right. But the fact that those inventory items are included in the first place makes the game a lot of fun, in my opinion. I love using like the Tome of Power, especially, and the egg. I forget what it's called.
The Morph Ovum.
Yes, the Morph Ovum. That's a lot of fun. And
Doom is seems to be like way more immediate, in which like you know, you pick up a soul sphere, immediately your health is, you know, boosted 100 points or like it's Doom. Everything is like very, very like at that moment something happens, and not like you don't have to strategize too much for like item based things, like keeping it for later. So do you think that adds to the gameplay, or does it add a bit of a distraction, or If you added something like that to Doom, how much would you think that would change Doom? Would it be a good idea?
Oh. I think it's something that would be worth experimenting with. I think you could make a cool set of maps to take advantage of inventory items in Doom. Mm-hmm. It would, I guess, kind of be like a Curse of Disparal.
Right, yeah.
For Doom, yeah.
I was actually quite interested that you didn't select that of Heretic. Then, of course, that is a massive departure from what the original Heretic is.
Yeah,
and you know, part of me thinks that Heretic is a game that, because of its lack of immense popularity, certainly compared to Doom, it hasn't really achieved its sort of its capabilities haven't been fully realized. I mean, I flagged up in the past about Curse of Disparal, the way in which it actually makes far, far better use of the inventory system than the original IWOD did. Because in that case, I was inundated with countless power-ups I didn't know what to do with. I was hitting backspace more than I was selecting individual things. So
when I played through Heretic, like the inventory items kind of fell by the wayside. Like I didn't find myself using them very often. I mean, heck, it even like each level, it kind of resets you back to one of that particular item if they're in your inventory anyway. So I was just like, why bother? But
that actually serves as an encouragement to use them, because you can't carry them anyway. So.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, those are your five. Thankfully, now the ferries arrived. Didn't even know they had a port on the island. That's strange. So I'm ready to pick you up and take you back to your humble abode.
The skeletal remains of a guy that was there, and like he also had a computer with. I was like, I could add these to my top five too.
The previous guy who tried Desert Island once chose the wrong map set.
It's like, no.
I hope the next guy you have on the show doesn't find my skeleton there.
Oh, God,
so.
No. Anyway, it's been wonderful having you on the program. We're going to have to draw to a close here, unfortunately. Oh. Just keep it concise. Unless there's anything else you'd like to add, either from yourself or Matt, regarding anything discussed this evening?
No? I've got nothing.
He's got nothing.
I've got nothing.
Yeah. Well, then thank you very much for putting on Tango TV.
Thank you for having me, Alfonso and Matt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. In the future, we can expect interviews with, seeing Natural 20, Sir Jonnington. I say Natural 20. I always pronounce the V's.
And yeah, people get pissed off at me. Mm. They are V's. Yeah. I think it looks like a W, though.
Yeah, I think it's what a Natural 20. I'll be sensible here. So an interview with him coming up, hopefully, at some point. Also, Sir Jonnington. Perhaps also, if I can coerce him, Sergeant Mark. Like to talk about brittled him some. Anyway, yes, again, thank you for having being on the program, and adieu.